بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ، today is the 3rd of April in the year 2024. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 62nd night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And I've reached a point where I've mentioned that they're now marching towards the capital, Alexandria. So the next section entitled, An Interesting Incident. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu had by now learnt that the Egyptians regarded the Arabs as contemptible and looked down upon their way of dress and living. They even found the Arabs' victory over them odd. So why? Because obviously the Arabs were looked down upon. So Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he noticed this. And they looked down upon their clothing and the way they were conducting their lives. So Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu, he feared that the simple native Egyptians may be once again emboldened by this. Thus his genius once again went into overdrive. So he wanted to cut this in the bud. He didn't want the Egyptians to think that the Arabs were weak. It is related in Tabri in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 110, that Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu decided to show these Copts a spectacle which would spread quickly throughout the blessed land of Egypt from the capital. So what did he do? On the first day, he ordered an animal to be slaughtered, boiled, and then the Mujahideen eat with the Egyptians looking on. The Copts saw the Muslims eating Arab food, drinking soup, and chomping meat whilst wrapped in their cloaks and with no weapons. Having observed this, the Egyptians' contempt for the Muslims was even greater. So this is what he did the first day. He made them eat just like the Arabs would do, very simple. Boiled food, cloaks, and the Egyptians were looking and thinking, look at these people. The next day, Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu invited his officers and soldiers and ordered them to now dress as the Egyptians. This time the Egyptians saw a completely different sight, for they no longer saw nomads wrapped in their cloaks and knowing at boiled meat. Now the Muslims looked as if they had been born and raised in Egypt. For even their meals were now Egyptian. They were also served by attendants and they ate in the Egyptian manner. The Egyptians thereupon remarked in shock, they are almost like us. So this is what he did on the second day. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu also ordered his officers to thereupon dress in armor and prepare for the military parade. The Egyptians observed the parade and the officers marched in front of the soldiers bristling with arms. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu thereupon made the following proclamation to the Egyptians. I have shown to you the Arabs as they really are. Firstly, how they lived back home. Then how they lived amongst you. And how they act during war. You should thus always bear in mind that they defeated you whilst in the first state. This is in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 110. So where is he doing this? He's doing this and he's making the people, the Egyptians, see, i.e. Alexandria. Because he knew they were looking down upon the Arabs. And he said to them, because we defeated you in the first state. Meaning, no matter to which land we enter, and however much we assimilate, we are still Arabs, and we are warriors at heart. The rumors then started spreading amongst the Egyptian populace that, not to be confused, for the Arabs were indeed superior. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu later heard of this incident, he smiled in approval and he said, Amr radiallahu anhu is really cunning, his war is subtle, not violent like that of others. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr. So when this news reached Umar, he appreciated what he had done. And he goes, look how he's weakening them without fighting. And what did he mean? Not violent like others. So maybe he was making reference to Khalid radiallahu anhu. So he's praising Amr. He goes, he is the Arthabun of the Arabs. He is the cunning. His war is subtle because he doesn't want bloodshed. So not Amr radiallahu anhu, it wasn't just a case of just leading the forces. He was also psychologically very astute as well. So we can now move on to the conquest of Alexandria, the capital of Egypt. Alexandria was the last stronghold of the Roman Empire. At the time of the Muslim conquests, Alexandria was the capital of Egypt, and indeed the second city of the Roman Empire after Constantinople. It was also the foremost trading city in the entire world. Think about that. So from the Roman perspective, how high was Alexandria? It was the second capital. Constantinople was the first. It was the second capital. It was the greatest trading city of the entire world, meaning it was really the capital of the world. It had numerous inaccessible fortresses. Moreover, it was a masterpiece of beauty with palaces, churches, temples, obelisks, citadels, lighthouses, statues, and other fascinating buildings which captured the heart. So it was a very, very modern city in the world at the time. And it was a beautiful place. Right? People would go there in awe. And of course, one of the great wonders of the world was there. They called it the lighthouse. I don't know what it was. It was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was in Alexandria. On arrival, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu looked around every inch of the city in order to form a proper plan and to make or take necessary measures. So he thought how best to now open the city. Upon inspection, he found the city invulnerable to any invasion. It was protected on the north by the Mediterranean Sea, on the south by Lake Mariut, on the west by the Snake Canal, and on the east by its high fortresses. So it was impregnable. You've got natural defenses, and you've got the fortresses that are keeping the whole city from being invaded. Yet Allahu Akbar, these natural obstacles would never stand between Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu and his goal of opening up Alexandria for Islam. Meanwhile, the Romans understood the seriousness of a Muslim takeover of the city, about which Emperor Heraclius, he said, if the Arabs seize Alexandria, that will signal the end of the Roman rule. So this is how critical it was. The Roman Emperor himself said, we lose this, it's over. So the next section entitled, the death of the infamous Emperor Heraclius. It is related in Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr that Heraclius had prepared to go out to Alexandria himself to lead the fight against the Muslims. But when he had completed his preparations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty and Glorious, caused him to die. Subhanallah. So this shows that he was a senior. He himself was going to lead the forces, the emperor. But his death came. Thus the one who had rejected the message of the glorious truth from no other than our beloved messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and had thereupon sent imperial armies to fight him, i.e. at Mu'ta, and then to fight his companions during Ash-Sham and now the Egyptian campaigns, eventually met his miserable end. Good riddance. Note also how Allah the Almighty and Glorious had only taken away his soul when he had now made him witness the near collapse of the entire Roman Empire. A veritable sign indeed for any who have intellects and hearts to reflect with. Now think about that. Allah Ta'ala could have taken him any time. Could you have thought of a worse time? He's almost seen the collapse of the entire Roman Empire. Then Allah Ta'ala takes him. So to reiterate, what was his state? Sheikh Muhammad Idris Sahib Khan Dehlavi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Seerat al-Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, volume 2, page 426 of the English translation, he made the following important observation. He said, the emperor was well aware of the fact that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the final messenger in whose favor Isa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam issued glad tidings. But he failed to embrace Islam. This clearly indicates that Iman does not denote the mere knowledge of something, but rather Iman refers to obedience and submission. This is important. Some people think that if you know, then you're Muslim. No, you're not. Heraclius knew. Was he a Muslim? He didn't submit. The Shaykh goes, therefore, he who knows Rasulullah to be a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but fails to submit to him, can never be classified as a Muslim. This is why the research scholars are of the opinion that Heraclius, the emperor of Rome, did not embrace Islam. According to a hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Mazahir-i-Haq, number 5861, the emperor wrote a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Tabuk, in which he claimed to have converted to Islam. Rasulullah remarked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man is a liar. He is still resolutely firm on his Christianity. So look how interesting. When did he send that letter? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Tabuk. What was Rasulullah doing in Tabuk? He went out to deal with the Heraclius. They bottled it. Not only did he bottle it, he sent him a letter. He's having embraced Islam. Look how, you know, interesting. Coward and lying. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through revelation, because he's lying. Because he just said that. Because he still firmly believes in Christianity. Indeed, the clear reality of this can be ascertained in him thereupon sending battalions upon battalions against the Muslims during the era of the Khilafah al-Rashidi. So if he was a Muslim, why did he start sending forces against Khalid bin Walid? You understand? Against Amr ibn al-As. The response is, he's lying. Guidance truly is in the hands of no other than our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's dead. Good riddance. The Byzantine state was now thrown into turmoil after the death of their emperor. Meanwhile, back in Alexandria, the Romans had made all necessary preparations to defend their great city. They had set up catapults on the walls so that as soon as the Muslims approached them, they were showered with a hail of large boulders, and many were those killed or seriously injured. So obviously they had the advantage. Immediately Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu gave orders to withdraw out of the range of the catapults. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu thereupon encamped, which lasted for 2 months, as related in Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuhul Misr. He was patiently hoping that the Romans would emerge to confront them in an open battle, but they dared not. So what was he doing, Sayyidina Amr? What was his plan? Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu's plan was come out. Let them come out. We're going to keep besieging until they come out. But they didn't come out. So now the question, did either side know that Heraclius had died? That's interesting. Heraclius was coming. So were the Romans or the Egyptians in Alexandria awaiting his arrival? And don't forget, he could arrive very easily. Why? Because by ship. You understand? He didn't know, need to go through the land. At the same time, was Amr aware something had happened, radiyallahu anhu? And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was now Sayyidina Amr again showing his brilliance, in which he was making sure the Egyptians knew that they weren't normal people, because they were looking down upon the outward of the Arabs, and he taught them a lesson in this area. And then I mentioned, of course, a little bit about Alexandria. It was literally the trading capital of the world, so don't think it's just a small, it was, you know, the main city of the world. And then, of course, Allah Ta'ala took away the soul of Heraclius at the worst point in his life, where he was preparing to go himself to defend Alexandria. And of course, he died without Iman. And then I mentioned that Sayyidina Amr's plan was to besiege Alexandria, hoping they would come out, but of course, they didn't. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إلي